We will now read from Scripture Psalm 67. We will read the whole psalm. It's interesting for those in the Afrikaans and English tradition that the verse numbers differ in the Afrikaans and English versions. They also differ in the Hebrew. The Afrikaans is according to the Hebrew, not the Hebrew according to the Afrikaans. And the reason for that is because the psalm heading to the chief musician on stringed instrument, the psalm, that's in the English version not considered as the first verse, but as the introduction. And that's why the verse numbers differ. So in the sermon, I will be making use of the English verse numbers, but for the Afrikaans people with Afrikaans translation, remember to add one. Always add one. All right, Psalm 67. I'm going to read from the New King James Version, but you're welcome to follow in any translation that you have before you. To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. It will be good if you can keep your Bible open at Psalm 67 as we will listen to the explanation of the whole psalm. The theme of this sermon is what we find in Psalm 67, namely that God blesses us, he blesses his people, so that we can proclaim his salvation among all the nations. Our beloved in our Lord, it's easy in the midst of our busy lives and full programs to be blinded for all the things that we can and should be thankful for towards the Lord. And there are so many. Yes, it's true, we are experiencing the consequences of a worldwide pandemic. And yes, our specific circumstances differ from person to person. Some of us really have hard times and experience hard times. And yet, once we take the time to become quiet and to reflect, we realize that we have so many things to be thankful for. Many of us have food to eat. We have a place to stay. We have the opportunity to work or to study. We have friends and family to support us and to share everyday life with. We have the ability to see the Lord's provision in nature. The seasons are turning. Spring is in the air. Moreover, in these unique times as Christians, we have the greatest comfort that we can know that the Lord is in control. And this gives us perspective and hope. And to this list can be added various things. You can just think of your own life and your own experiences. Yes, without a doubt, we have so many things to be thankful for towards the Lord. He blesses us with what we need and more. Now, if we reflect on the Lord's mercy and kindness long enough, it's easy to start wondering, but why does the Lord bless us with all these things? What's the reason? What is his purpose? And the answer we receive from Scripture is multifaceted. It's not a simple answer, this is the one answer and that's it. There's various answers, and it comes down to the same thing, but there's various answers. On the one hand, the Lord does this because this is who he is. He is our Heavenly Father. He does this because he loves us in Christ. He does this because he wants to. Yes, various passages in Scripture makes it clear that the Lord does this because of who He is. But there's also another reason why the Lord blesses us with all these blessings, and that reason has to do with God's mission, with His great plan, with His will. And this is what we hear, among others, from Psalm 67. Psalm 67 is a song of praise the people of Israel sang to the Lord for the wonderful harvest He has given them, the wonderful harvest He has blessed them with. We read in verse 6, verse 7 in Afrikaans, "The earth shall yield its increase." Or as it is translated in various English translations, "The earth has yielded its increase." The Lord blessed the land and it yielded its crop. And this is why the people of Israel are together. They are praising the Lord for His wonderful blessing, specifically in the form of the harvest He has given them. The bountiful harvest is a sign of the Lord's goodness. In fact, each harvest was a sign of the Lord's provision year after year, also a fulfillment of the blessings we read of in Leviticus 26. Leviticus 26, "If you walk in My statutes and keep My commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season, the land shall yield its produce, the trees of the field shall yield their fruit." And therefore we can deduce in all probability, as many commentators also indicate, that Psalm 67 was a harvest song that the people of Israel most probably sang during the Feast of the Harvest. It's a feast we have in the Old Testament, the Feast of the Harvest, also known as the Feast of the Weeks, and probably better known by its New Testament name, Pentecost. The earth yielded its produce, the harvest was gathered, the people came together to thank the Lord with a festival to praise Him for His goodness. And yet, despite the importance of this context, despite how beautiful this context is, Psalm 67 isn't really about the harvest. Only one part of one verse refers to the harvest. The harvest is merely the context. Psalm 67 is rather about the blessings of the Lord, and moreover, the purpose of the blessings of the Lord. The reason why the Lord blesses His people with all these things. The psalm starts with a prayer. And together with the people of Israel, when we sing these words, when we pray these words, we pray that the Lord will bless us. Listen to the opening words. "God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us." It's absolutely striking. On the day that the people of Israel are together to express their thankfulness for the harvest the Lord has provided, they pray that the Lord will bless them and be merciful towards them. We may say that they've already received so much. They have the harvest. And now they pray that the Lord will bless them even further. Isn't this a bit daring? Isn't this too much? Well, not if we realize the type of blessings they are praying for. They aren't praying these words to receive physical blessings in the first place. Rather, they are praying these words as an expression of their relationship with the Lord. May God be merciful towards us. He is our God. May His face shine upon us. The face, indication of relationship, intimate relationship. The blessings they are praying for is much rather spiritually than physically. Listen once more to verse 1. "God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us." Now, if you listen carefully to these words, you will hear another passage of Scripture echoed in these very words. These words resemble the priestly blessing we find in Number 6. Number 6, verse 24 to 26, normally used also in worship services for the blessing at the beginning or at the end. Numbers 26 states, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now, in reality, Psalm 67 contains an abbreviated form of the priestly blessing, and it's made personal, or more personal, in the sense that the second person, you, is changed to the first person, plural, us. May God be merciful to us. May he bless us. May his face shine upon us. In Psalm 67, the priestly blessing is turned into a prayer. In other words, what do the people of Israel do right at the beginning of this psalm? They pray that the Lord will bless them spiritually. The earthly blessings of the harvest, as a matter of fact, disappear into the background. Only one verse devoted to it. Rather, on the foreground is the spiritual blessings of the Lord's mercy, the Lord's face shining upon them, and the prayer then that the people will continue to live in this relationship with the Lord. Now, if we reflect on these words, it is absolutely striking to hear what the people are praying for. Because normally, when we pray for the blessing of the Lord, we tend to pray for physical things or concrete things. We pray for health and prosperity. We pray for safety. We pray for rain. We pray for the harvest. And it's fitting that we pray for this, because when we pray in such a way, we confess that the Lord is our Father and we are totally dependent on him. We should pray for these things. But the problem is that so often we only pray for these things. Often our prayers may reflect that we are only living here, or we are only living for the here and the now, without a deep-rooted conviction of the Lord's great plan and how I fit into that plan and how I should work in his kingdom for his glory. In comparison to our prayers for food and health and safety, how often do we pray for God's great plan? How often do we pray for his mercy, or that the Lord will bless us, make his face shine upon us, so that his great plan can come or go into fulfillment? Psalm 67 reminds us that our perspectives should change. We should stop thinking about blessings merely in a horizontal fashion, merely earthly terms. It's true, the blessings of the Lord are expressed in that manner, but not only in that manner. It is also expressed in him being merciful towards us, causing his face to shine upon us. So, to return to the question we started off with, was it a bit daring of the people of Israel to ask for further blessings during a feast in which they celebrated the blessings of the Lord? Not at all. Because they didn't adhere to some form of a prosperity gospel. They didn't merely seek the blessing of the Lord so that they can live a comfortable life. They are praying for the continued mercy of the Lord and for his face continuing to shine upon them so that they can fulfill their calling with his great plan. And this becomes crystal clear in verse 2, just the next verse. Follow the argument. In verse 1, the people pray for the Lord's blessing. Why do they pray for this? What is the deepest reason why we should pray for the blessing of the Lord as well? We pray this so that the Lord may be known among all nations. Verse 1, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Verse 2, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Now, these words are absolutely striking. The people of Israel are praying that God will bless them so that he might be known among all nations. And this confirms our interpretation that the people aren't merely praying for their own comfort or for their own physical prosperity. They aren't praying merely for their own sake. Rather, they pray that these blessings may directly contribute to God being known among all the nations. If God blesses His people spiritually, they will be able to proclaim His salvation to other people as well. And if the other people see the spiritual blessings the Lord blesses His people with, it will directly contribute to them knowing God and by His grace turning to Him. Now this once more flies in the face of our all too often self-centered prayers, where we might pray for the blessing of the Lord, but so that we can live a nice and quiet life without coming into contact with other people. I want the Lord to bless me, but that's it. That's where I want the blessing of the Lord to stop. Thank you very much. The ultimate goal is that the Lord bless me. But why do the people pray in Psalm 67? The ultimate goal of this prayer isn't that the Lord will merely bless the people of Israel, but that He will bless them so that this blessing will be an instrument serving a greater purpose, namely that all the nations may know Him. And what do we learn from this? Well, we already said that our perspective needs to change regarding the blessing of the Lord, where we so often see the blessing of the Lord merely as earthly, physical things. But our perspective also needs to change, in which we view God's spiritual blessings as a goal in themselves. Because Psalm 67 indicates that this isn't true. God doesn't bless us spiritually so that His blessings can stop with us. He blesses us spiritually so that in the first place we may worship Him as the only God and serve Him with our whole hearts, but secondly, so that these blessings may be a blessing to other people as well. That it can directly contribute to the Lord being known among all nations. This prayer of Psalm 67 links on to various passages in the Old Testament. The most important one, probably, for the sake of our argument at least, is the calling of Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, where the Lord promises to Abraham that He will bless him. And then in the final words of verse 3, the Lord says these striking words to Abraham, "And in you all families of the earth shall be blessed." Already then the Lord determined that Abraham and his descendants should be a blessing to the people around them, guiding them to knowing the Lord and serving them. Well, think of Jeremiah 33, where the Lord says to His people in exile that He will change their fate. He will purify them of their sins. And what will the result be? Verse 9, "Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth, who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it." Do you hear the link between Israel and the nations? God's spiritual blessings in the form of forgiveness of sins for Israel and Judah will directly contribute to God receiving the glory before all the people. Or take Isaiah 60, where the Lord commands, "Arise, shine." And the results of this, verse 3, "The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." Various times in the Old Testament we hear that the spiritual blessings that the Lord gives to His people directly contributes to Him being known among the nations. Now this we also hear in Psalm 67. It probably won't surprise you to hear that many commentators refer to Psalm 67 as the mission psalm because of this great view, this view of blessing Israel so that they can be a blessing to others. What Psalm 67 says about how we contribute to God being known among all the nations, of course, Christ makes explicit in His final exhortation just before His ascension in the well-known Matthew 28. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." This is the great commandment. This is what Psalm 67 boils down to. In a certain sense, we can say that Psalm 67 is a prophecy fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ's great commandment in Matthew 28. So when the gospel is proclaimed more and more, and it spreads across the earth, Psalm 67 and Matthew 28 is fulfilled. Well, think about the book of Revelation, where we read in various passages of believers from all tribes and peoples and languages and nations united before God, also implying the mission of God. People from all tribes and languages and nations becoming Christians. At the consummation of all things, with the coming of Christ, the second coming, the end, at that day, Psalm 67 will be fulfilled in perfection. Then believers from all these different tribes and peoples and languages and nations will appear before God as His one people to glorify Him in eternity. It's what a wonderful global view we have here in Psalm 67. From His people Israel, and later the church, the knowledge of God spreading all over the earth, God blessing His people and later His church, so that He may be known among all the people. And by blessing His church, God is fulfilling His great plan. He receives praise more and more through more and more people turning to Him and worshiping Him as God, as Christ, their Savior, the Holy Spirit working in them. So just to emphasize this point, our second perspective that needs to change is the perspective that God's spiritual blessings in our lives is merely a purpose on its own. On the contrary, according to Psalm 67, God blesses us spiritually so that these blessings in our lives can directly contribute to His glory. But Psalm 67 goes even further. The greatest goal eventually isn't that God will merely be known. I think the problem probably is our English and Afrikaans idea of what known means. In the Hebrew it means much more. But we don't pray that God will bless His people that other people may merely know Him intellectually. Oh yes, there is a God, I know about Him. Rather, we pray this so that more and more people will serve Him, will worship Him. And this is ultimately what the prayer boils down to. We pray that God will bless us so that He will be known among the people, and that known implies that He will be praised. Listen to verse 3. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. And it's such a wonderful idea and such a wonderful thought that it is repeated as a refrain also in verse 5. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let the peoples praise You. What do we learn from this, beloved? Well, very simple. We learn that the primary purpose of this prayer isn't merely knowledge, intellectual knowledge. It is that God will be praised, that He will be served. Now, why is it important to realize this? We so often make the mistake by thinking that the salvation of all nations, that is the ultimate goal of God. We so often think that God's great plan is to save people. That's true, that is indeed God's will, but the salvation of man is a purpose to a much bigger goal. And the bigger goal is that God should be worshipped for who He is, the creator and sustainer of everything. And for man to praise God, he needs to be saved by Christ. We've heard that in the law section of our service this morning as well. We fall short, far short of the glory of God. We can never save ourselves. We need a Savior. And we need a perfect Savior, and that is Christ, the only perfect Savior. And therefore, we need salvation. But salvation isn't the deepest goal. Yes, that contributes to our greatest purpose, to praise God. But the biggest purpose is exactly that, that we should worship and praise God with everything in us. This is the purpose of our creation. This is the purpose why God saved us and recreated us. This is our eternal purpose, to praise God eternally. And this is the third perspective then that we should change from Psalm 67. We should do away with this idea that it's all just about salvation. Indeed, it is about salvation, but more, the glory of God. But there's also a fourth perspective. And this is the wonderful ultimate perspective of Psalm 67. A perspective that is echoed also in the New Testament, amongst others, in the final verses of the book of Revelation. And this has to do with what God is busy with and where He's going to, where He is leading His church towards. And what we hear from Psalm 67 is the wonderful fact, all the ends of the earth will glorify God. The harvest festivals in ancient Israel had a beautiful symbolic meaning. Amongst others, it was symbolic to come together to praise God for the physical harvest that He has given. People coming together, showing their unity, showing their united worship of God. It's also an indication that they trusted God to give the next harvest, or the rest of the harvest. It was an expression of faith. We come together with the first part of the harvest already brought in. We are sure that the rest will follow. We are sure that the Lord will keep us also in the future. Now, what does Psalm 67 do in the final two verses? It links on to the certainty of the harvest that will follow. First, verse 6, the earth has yielded its increase. In other words, God has blessed them with this harvest. And what follows? The certainty of verse 7. God shall bless us. The fact that the Lord has already blessed them ensures to them that He will bless them further. Now, what does Psalm 67 then say in the rest of verse 7? This idea of the certainty of a harvest that will follow is applied to the people's calling to proclaim God's salvation. And the argument is fantastic. Just as the presence of the Lord and the presence of His blessing make them sure that the rest of the harvest will follow, so the psalm indicates that as we have this calling to proclaim God's salvation to the people, we can know that salvation in the end will be proclaimed to the people. God's plan will go into fulfillment. Yes, not ultimately in the lives of the Israelites, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime, ultimately also not in our lifetime. But the final harvest will be brought in. Up to that stage, verse 7, where we will be able to say, all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Or, now all the ends of the earth fear Him. Eventually, all the peoples to the farthest regions of the earth will fear God. They will serve Him. Not every person individually, not saying that every person who lived any time throughout the history of the world will be saved. That's not what Scripture teaches. But representatives from all the peoples to the ends of the earth will be saved by Christ. And this is why Psalm 67, in the true sense of the word, is a harvest song. Just as God blessed His people with the earth yielding its crop, so He will bless His people, His church, throughout all the ages, so that the harvest of people will come in. The true Pentecost. And what a great comfort is this. Eventually, all the ends of the earth will fear God. God's continuous blessing of His people, blessing of His church, will enable the church to do her mission. The mission, the great commandment Christ has given her. God, who blesses His church, will eventually make sure that the church, despite all her brokenness, despite her failures, despite being small and incapable, that the church will fulfill her calling. On the time that God has appointed for it, the great harvest will be brought in. The harvest of people from all the tribes and nations and languages. And then every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Even the knees that didn't want to bow or the tongues that didn't want to confess Him, that day will have to answer, Jesus is Lord. And what a comfort as church to know that this is where God is heading. And this is how I fit in. This is how we fit in. This is our calling. This is our mandate. Within our normal earthly life, also part of our calling, doesn't matter what work you do, your studies, that in this, I glorify God by doing my part of His great mission. Let's conclude. We started off by saying that we have so many things that we can be thankful for. And again, that's true. But of everything we have heard today, may the following be our prayer. May God continue to bless us, so that He may be known among all the nations, ultimately that they will praise Him. Yes, may the Lord bless us that we can proclaim His salvation. And may He help us to keep hold of this perspective that one day the ends of the earth will praise Him. What great mercy for me and you at this stage already to know this and to serve Him willingly with all our hearts and minds and soul and strength. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.